sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
I promised myself to have fun with this one, so let's do this, okay? Episode 129. If it offends you, it's meant to. Let me get rid of this comma. This comma does not need to be here. Okay, all right. Okay. Bear with me, folks. Bear with me. As I recite this beautiful poetry. Find a room to lock yourself in and close the door. It's some heavy concept that we gotta explore. God damn it, Nas. We gotta strip the word down rugged and raw. The rhetoric of Martin Luther King just ain't around no more. Du Bois ain't here, James Baldwin neither. But they all were leaders. But they ain't helped me get this Porsche two-seaters. A lawyer left the hood. He never looked back. To be a Fortune 500 CEO, it took rap. So what if my pants sag and my hats turn back? The same swag got our merchandise flying off the rack. Marketing companies is hiring blacks. Fresh hip-hop lingo for your campaign ads. Controversy surrounds who could say it when. Some niggas are full-time, some sit and pretend. So fuck that. No apologies on the issue. If it offends you, it's meant to. It's that simple.
Message!
Oh, wow. All right. Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Hold on a second. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background. That's my dryer going on, and there's a thing in there with the zipper, and it's kind of noisy, kind of annoying. I'm tempted to go take it out. You know what? Holy shit. I'm in the middle of an introduction. I'm sorry. Hey, before I start the show, I'm not going to complain about my laundry. What I am going to do is give you all a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is a business bitch. Yo, I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. Today's date is November 26, 2023. Holy shit, one month away from Christmas. Well, less than a month away from Christmas. And this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. One more thing. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. If it offends you, it's meant to. It's that simple. All right, I got a lot to get through, so let me just try to rush this show. Before I continue, I still got to say welcome to your returning listeners. And for you new listeners, welcome. I'm hoping that that little introduction helped you understand the kind of podcast that you're about to listen to. But I just want to give you, like, help you folks get situated. All my episodes, or I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Act, if you will. The first act is the introduction. Second one is use your random thoughts. And last one is final thoughts, where it kind of relates to the title of the episode. But in the introduction, I like to do shit like I just did. I go through my checklist. I play the intro, check. I play the intro, check. Tell you the episode title, check. Recite some poetry, check. Give you a heads up, the kind of give you a warning of the kind of podcast. Try to give you a warning about the podcast that you're listening to or the kind of person that I am. And check. And another thing I like to do in the introduction is recite share some history. For example, did you know on November 25th, November 25th, Are You Still Down by Tupac. Tupac released Are You Still Down. And if you ask me what my favorite track on that album is, it would definitely be Sucker for Love. Is that what he called it? Yeah, Sucker for Love. And I got to think about the others. There's a lot of good for that, but definitely the one that stands out is Sucker for Love. Also, in the introduction, I like to do shit like read quotes or thoughts. And today's, the first one goes, remember, the people booing aren't on the field. Shout out to Talib Kweli for that one. And you know what? That's going to tie into the final thought. And the second quote goes, validation is a poison. Your magic does not need anyone's approval to be potent. And author of this quote is Billy Chapata. And shout out to my man, Talam Macy, who I copied this quote from. Also, that quote is going to relate to the final thought. All right. Okay. I talked about Tupac and everything. All right, gang. This concludes the introduction. Let's jump to news and random thoughts. All right. Okay. Let's go. Hold on, man. I got to wipe these glasses. It's like, it sucks getting older. I don't know, man. I could have sworn I told the folks that, hey, I need glasses that when I drive at night, the light won't look like a star in my eyes. And that didn't work. Excuse me. But I'm not here to complain about my eye prescription. What I will complain about is prepare for this episode. Not that it does anything for you, but I just feel the need to get this rant out the way. But preparing for this episode was a challenge because, right. Yes. So usually I like to prepare my episodes the day before. And I couldn't because I couldn't decide on the title. And what's funny is what inspired today's final thought was there's a comedian out there, white dude, right? Comedian, not that I expect you to know him, not that I expect you to look him up, but if you know him, you know him. Was kind of making a bit of controversy because he released, he's got a Netflix special. His name is Matt Rife. And, I'll talk about it more. But I don't know. While watching it, the thought of two thoughts. My point to this is I finally realized everything came into place once I figured out what my final thought was going to be. But up until that point, I was, it was like at the 11th hour, I figured out what my final thought was going to be. Like I was able to figure out what the news, random thoughts, and final thoughts would be. And what's funny, what didn't make it easy was the fact that in my frustration as I sparked one. So I sparked one. I'm like, you know what? I'll figure out the rest tomorrow. Anyway, all this to say, it took a while to prepare for today's episode. Not that it's your problem. I just need to get that shit off my chest. I'm not angry. I'm not saying I'm going to quit podcast. I'm just saying, fuck. You know, a little difficulty. All right. Also, I had to triage through a lot of shit. I forgot to count how many links I saved for this episode, but I was able to narrow it down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, five links. Okay, not bad, B. Not bad. You know what? Hold on a second. Good job, B. Good job, B. All right, okay. Mind you, I'm a little disappointed because I was hoping to cook before the episode because I'm kind of hungry. But yeah, I'm going to make some goulash. I found this recipe on the internet called goulash, and it's one of those things that I've always wanted to bake for myself, and I'm looking forward to trying it, man. Look at me, excited to try out a recipe. All right, got that out of my system. Okay, so check this out. Today's news and random, I'm actually going to go in order. Like, I'm going to start with news and end with random thoughts. With a random thoughts. Yeah, okay. First news, it goes, this is in the news. I didn't have a chance to read it, but I'm going to read it together. But I love the headline. It goes, Kyle Rittenhouse, Killer Kyle, has lost all his money, his lawyer says. All right, let's see if my AI bot, it's been fucking with me today. AI bot cooperates with me and plays this article for me. Reads this article for me. Here we go. Yo, I, oh, shit is broken. What the fuck? Okay. But you know what? There's a, hold on. There's a link to play the article. Oh, okay. We're good. Praise Black Jesus. Okay, here we go, man. Sorry. The, I have a bot, right? I have an extension, a Chrome extension that reads article for me, and it's not cooperating with me. Yo, I'm about to curse these folks out. And, I tweeted about it. But anyways, there's a link on the article, and I like the fact that a lot of these publishers, a lot of these have gotten with the program and start adding a link where a reader to all their articles, man. Shout out to the future, to people, you know, getting with the program. So here we go. Kyle Rittenhouse, that's who we're talking about.
Just a quick word from our sponsor.
Oh, God damn it.
COVID loves a crowd, but it can also ruin the party. Help protect yourself against COVID-19 with a Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist and schedule your vaccination. Visit Comirnaty.ca. 100% protection cannot be guaranteed.
Son of a bitch.
Kyle Rittenhouse has lost all his money, his lawyer says. By Jake Loader.
Here we go.
Kyle Rittenhouse has lost his money since he was acquitted over three shootings at a protest in Wisconsin. His criminal defense attorney Mark Richards has said, The 20-year-old is releasing a book that describes his life as well as the circumstances around his fatal shootings of 36-year-old Joseph Rosenbaum and 26-year-old Anthony Huber in August 2020.
Interesting.
Rittenhouse also injured 26-year-old Gage Grosskreutz at the protest held after Jacob Blake, a black man, was paralyzed from the waist down after he was shot by a white police officer that same month. Rittenhouse argued that he used the gun in self-defense and was acquitted on charges of first-degree intentional homicide, attempted first-degree intentional homicide, first-degree reckless homicide, and two charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. Rittenhouse sparked uproar after he announced his new book, acquitted on his social media accounts on November 20th, describing it as a story of survival, resilience, and justice. Talking to Court TV, attorney Mark Richards, who represented Rittenhouse, said, he is working. He is trying to support himself.
Right.
Everybody thinks that Kyle got so much money from this. Whatever money he did get is gone. He's living, I don't want to say paycheck to paycheck, but he's living to support himself. Obviously, as his lawyer and somebody who I want to do well, I hope he does re-engage in his studies. But right now, he is working full-time, he is living a law-abiding life, and he is doing something that he enjoys. Newsweek reached out to Rittenhouse via X for comment.
Right.
Rittenhouse has been open about needing money in the past and previously used an appearance on Tucker Carlson's Fox News show to request donations to his legal fund.
Wow.
He faces lawsuits from the man he shot and injured, as well as from the father of one of the two men he killed. Richards, who is also representing Rittenhouse in his upcoming civil cases, said of his client's book, "He talked to me about it. I read the book before it went to the publisher. I have no problem with him writing the book. He lived it, he paid for it, and it's his story to tell. I think he wanted the whole story told. I represented Kyle from almost the beginning until the trial. That was approximately 15 months, and when I read the book, there were a lot of things I didn't know," Richards said.
That's it? Okay, that's it. Big deal, man. Fuck that nigger. I mean, I'm kind of surprised, man. I thought these white folks would have each other's back like that. Like, they let them go broke? I mean, what the fuck? I'm actually disappointed in these people, man. The man's a hero to y'all. Anyway, I ain't got much to add. All I'm going to say is, where does Kyle Rittenhouse live? Yeah, watch your back, man. That dude's going to kill again. You heard it here first on Shut Up Podcast. That man, if he goes broke, I mean, he got the taste for blood. What the fuck? He became famous. He's going to kill again. He's going to, yo, this is, Kyle Rittenhouse is a content creator right now. Well, whatever. Okay. All right, what other news do I have? Oh, shit. Why is my... Oh, did I get this by these people? All right, okay, this one does not have a reader. God damn it. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. Okay, let me see if this works. If the reader works. It's better for because this title is like, you know, it's like celebration type shit. Ex-officer Derek Chauvin, convicted in George Floyd's killing, was stabbed in prison, but he's still alive. That's the problem. Hold on. What details can you offer us? Okay. Looks like I need to reboot this computer. Or, here, I'm going to try going to the actual site and, fuck, nothing's cooperating right now. Okay, I'm going to try going to the site and, this is very unprofessional on my part. I wouldn't be doing this if I had read the article in advance, but, all right, I'm going to go, there's two ways to use a site. I'm going to try to use it the second time. All right. Okay, bear with me. Do 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 do. Hold on. Damn, how long is this fucking article? Okay. You know what I'm doing? Okay, I'm copy and paste. There's two ways you could use this reader, right? And I'm gonna try copying and pasting it. And I know what you're thinking. B, fuck, why don't you just read the article? Because, it would have been done by now. Where is... Okay, let me see this. Okay, this better work or else I'm going to ask for my money back. Maybe they didn't like the fact that I sent them a bad comment. Here we go. Derek Chauvin. Oh, shit. Upgrade available. Is that why it's not working? Oh, sorry, gang. Here we go. I just clicked on update available link. Okay, now let's go. Don't fuck me on this. People are listening. Don't fuck me on this. Here we go.
Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer convicted of murdering George Floyd, was stabbed by another inmate and seriously injured Friday at a federal prison in Arizona. A person familiar with the matter told the Associated Press. The attack happened at the Federal Correctional Institution, Tucson, a medium security prison that has been plagued by security lapses and staffing shortages.
Wow.
The person was not authorized to publicly discuss details of the attack and spoke to the AP on the condition of anonymity. The Bureau of Prisons confirmed that an incarcerated person was assaulted at FCI Tucson at around 12:30 p.m. local time Friday.
Right.
In a statement, the agency said responding employees contained the incident and performed life-saving measures before the inmate, who it did not name, was taken to a hospital for further treatment and evaluation.
Well, must have been a lot of scared.
No employees were injured and the FBI was notified, the Bureau of Prisons said. Visiting at the facility, which has about 380 inmates, has been suspended.
Oh, wow.
Messages seeking comment were left with Chauvin's lawyers and the FBI. Chauvin's stabbing is the second high-profile attack on a federal prisoner in the last 5 months. In July, disgraced sports Dr. Larry Nassar was stabbed by a fellow inmate at a federal penitentiary in Florida.
Damn.
Supreme Court rejects appeal of former Minneapolis police officer convicted of killing George Floyd.
Hold on a second.
Filed doors are boarded up as protesters gather at
Whoops. Okay. Sorry, gang. That's not related to the article. Fuck. I'm not sure. Okay. It is also the second major incident in Tucson. Oh, okay. It is also the second major. I hate this shit. Okay. All right, let me see if there's any details worth. The point is, man got stabbed in prison, man. No words on who did the stabbing. Okay, no employees were injured in the FBI, Chauvin. Okay. It is also the second. Oh, we already did this part. Oh, we already covered this part. Holy shit. New former officers, the federal state sentence, Chauvin comes to the bureau. Oh, okay. We already did this, did this. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, wait, hold on. Testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee in September, Peter. Who's Peters? Oh, I hate this article. Okay, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck this. Yo, fuck you, natural reader, for fucking up my productivity, man. All right, I'm going to just close it. But the point is, the man got stabbed. No word on who actually did the actual stabbing. We should fill up his commissary. Oh, thoughts and prayers for, you know what? No, I'm not that type, you know, because I'm all about believing in the system. Who am I kidding? Yes, no, I'm rejoicing in him getting stuff. I want bad things to happen to him. But I am thinking about how I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened earlier based on, I read the book I recommend the book. It's called His Name Was George Floyd. I'm sure we got that right. Is it His Name Was George Floyd? Is that what it's called? Hold on. His name was George Floyd. Let me see if... okay, I got that right. Yeah, I recommend reading that book. But the author's name is Robert Samuel and Toulouse Olarinupa. Anyway, that's not the... There's a part in the book where they even talk about Derek Chauvin. And... overall, that dude sounded like an asshole, man. He did. I'm sure he must be under maximum security. I'm just curious on what got him stabbed. What happened? They should make a documentary about it, right? But yeah, that's the only news I wanted to cover. All right, Derek Chauvin got stabbed. Can give you more details about it, but anything useful about it, but it doesn't matter. All right, you know what? Now this is Random Thoughts. Usually, for those who are used to this podcast, it's all spread out, news and random thoughts. But in this particular case, I started with news, and now I'm ending and segmenting between news and thoughts. Okay, so this one, I'm going to play, it's a TikTok clip by this content creator, this brother, it's an intelligent brother. Anyways, after listening to this, he had me thinking about the convenience of remaining ignorant. And
I was getting a haircut yesterday, and I struck up a conversation with one of the barbers who said that she believed the earth.
Hold on a second. Okay, so this brother is about to explain. Okay, actually, his name is, content creator's name is, Power Is Taken, Not Given. Oh, wow. Okay. And I was going to comment about, you know, yeah, he's a smart. He's like an articulate brother. He said something that had me thinking about, like, my takeaway from what he said was the convenience of remaining ignorant. So here we go. I'll just play it and talk about it after. Here we go.
I was getting a haircut yesterday, and I struck up a conversation with one of the barbers who said that she believed the earth was flat. I spent the next 10 minutes addressing her arguments and also pointing out ways that we can verify the earth is flat. You know, like the earth is a celestial body, like the rest of the planets and the moon that are round. Why would the earth be any different? Right. If you measure shadows in different cities or states at the exact same time, the angle of the shadow is going to be different because that wouldn't work on a flat earth. And if you look at pictures taken of the moon in Australia, the moon will look upside down to you because the perspective is different, which would work on a flat earth. You know, basic stuff like that. After she was done cutting her guy's hair, she went to the back room, and then I realized that I was rather abrasive in my discussion with her. And when she came back, I told her, listen, I apologize for coming off, you know, so curt and dismissive. That wasn't my intention. She said, okay, I understand, and explained that she still believed the earth was flat, obviously. But then my barber chimed in and said he also believed the earth was flat. My mind was shattered. I couldn't believe what was happening.
Right.
People, I spent the next 45 minutes addressing every insane conspiracy theory imaginable. It got to the point where I had to actually explain why the earth was round, that, you know, it's round because of gravity. We're all being drawn toward the center of the earth. And if unimpeded, everything falls at a speed of roughly 9.8 meters per second squared. And this applies to everything on earth, including the earth itself. Everything's being pulled in all directions to one central location, resulting in a spherical shape.
Right.
Like, this math explains everything. Explains why the earth is round. Explains why the earth revolves around the sun. Why the moon revolves around the earth. So on and so forth. My barber responded that he didn't believe in the theory of gravity. And so I asked him, okay, all right, fine, you don't believe in gravity, but my question to you is, why do objects fall down instead of falling up?
Right.
And he said it fell because of density. And I said, well, I mean, yeah, it has density, but density is just volume and mass. That doesn't explain why it falls. And he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, okay, like, when you push something off a table, what is the force that caused it to fall down and not fall up? And the female barber that I talked to earlier, she chimed in. It's like, well, of course it's going to fall down. Like, what else could it do? I said, no, look, you guys are saying it happens because it happens.
Right.
I'm asking why it happens.
Right.
I had to explain to these two adults, both older than me, the difference between identifying that something happens and asking why something happens. Like, the thought of why things fall to the ground never occurred to them, not once. And this is all without bringing up their thoughts on the moon landing or ice walls or demons or the firmament. I mean,
right.
It was a devastating conversation. I left that barbershop thinking, what I just experienced was a staggering indictment on the U.S. education system. There is no excuse for two grown adults to have the same, in 2023, to have the same beliefs as 12th century peasants. It was awful. Also made me wonder why I even bother doing what I do anyway. Like,
right.
I'm trying to talk about complex issues and a significant portion of the population, things like that. It's awful.
All right. Okay. No, I'm not sharing this clip so we can make fun of his barber and his barber's coworker. I remember listening to this and if I was put in a situation where I have to explain to someone why the earth can't be flat, I wouldn't be able to do it. It's just one of those things. I just took it for granted. But the people who I trust to know this kind of shit, they believe it, so I believe it. That's pretty much the extent of my explanation. Now, to be honest, Earth being a sphere is one of those things that it's not worth looking up. You shouldn't have to explain it unless you want to, you know, to a child, sure, right? But to a fucking adult who wants to use that moment to be able to say, oh, well, since you can't explain it, must be I'm the smart one, you're the idiot. And so what I liked about this clip is how this gentleman, power is taken out for granted, content creator, is able to articulate because he studies this kind of shit. And I was not amused, but I enjoyed his I enjoyed listening to. I guess I've always had a fascination with why things happen. The why, answering the question, why? Which, to his point, he's right. I feel in school, there was not enough emphasis on the whys. It was just what, how happens, but why didn't. Wasn't like a big deal. And one of my Hotep friends back in the days told me that that's the white man and his education, man. The European educational system is basically they were explaining a flaw in the educational system, and it's the fact that there's no emphasis on why. Like, people like me, when they think about the why, I get told that you're overthinking stuff. But it is what it is. So yes. The convenience of ignorance. So I was listening to him, and I love how he got to, okay, how his response was, okay, if the earth is flat, how do you explain gravity? Pretty much. And they were like, fuck that. But it had me thinking about, he was talking to people who were using ignorance because they found the convenience in it. Okay, that's my theory. I think the people who are flat earth, despite from being contrarians, there's probably 80%, the majority of them are contrarians. Just look, man, I want to stand out. I want to be that person who says something and give you the impression that I said something that you didn't think about. I want to look intelligent, right? But listening to him and how he was explaining, it, like how he was using logic, for me, it was, yo, thank you, Bill Nye. Thank you for breaking that down for me. Like, I would have enjoyed, I would have sat by that conversation and been like, oh, wow, points, points, points. It's things that I didn't know to think about. I mean, I knew, I've always known there was a, an explanation. I just didn't know the explanation, and I love the explanation. But here's the thing. I love stimulating that part of my mind. And I get the feeling that these folks, the flat earthers, or, the, or maybe just the two people we're talking to, nah, they've never seen. You know what? Okay. I think I'm trying to be a little like Newton. I'm trying to, this is me trying to analyze this conversation with those two people. And my takeaway was, I could understand why someone would remain ignorant. Because they don't see any value in understanding the whys. Anyway, I'm just, you know what's funny is, I was about to say, I wish this brother went to my barbershop, but the truth is, I can picture him clowning me for not knowing something. You know, okay, I'm stereotyping. I'm sorry. I'm speaking from my own personal experience that usually people who are knowledgeable like him are really bad not to say that power's taken out, maybe he's not, because he did apologize to that woman and say, I'm sorry if I came off abrasive. But yeah, but I am used to people who are that intelligent doing a shitty job at admitting when they're, oh, sometimes it's one thing to be wrong, and sometimes, okay, there's wrong and then there's right. But sometimes there's a tact about being right. You can be right and an asshole. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And in my experience, the smart folks who are always right sometimes could be assholes about it. But I'm not talking about this gentleman. I'm just talking about my own experience. Anyways, I'm grateful for this TikTok. It stimulated my mind, and I had to share it with y'all. All right. Okay, what else do I got in there? All right. Okay, so two things. Happy belated Thanksgiving to my Yankee friends. Fun fact, right? Je suis français, and I'm assuming you as an audience are bilingual, so if I switch between French and English, you understand. If not, then maybe I should have warned you at the beginning, but it is what it is. All right. I, growing up in school, I was always confused about, not confused, I didn't know that Action Grâce and Thanksgiving were the same holidays. People laugh when I say that, right? So Thanksgiving in French is called Action de Grâce. Grace of action. Amazing grace. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't know why the French and the English had two different terms, but whatever, right? One folks says Thanksgiving, the other one says Action de Grâce. And the reason why I was confused is because in school, they would say, hey, all right, Préparez-vous for l'action de grâce, blah, blah. We did all the preparation work. We did all the talk, blah, blah, and all that shit, right? And I consumed a lot of American television. So, and every time that when they were talking about Thanksgiving, they were talking about a holiday that took place in November. So I was always confused that, okay, action de grâce is in October, Thanksgiving is in November. Only to find out that Canada and the United States have celebrate Thanksgiving at two different times. And it's kind of fucking annoying for me as a Canadian because I'm like, come on, man. We already went for the Thanksgiving commercials. Jesus Christ. Can we start thinking about Christmas? But anyway, whatever. You know, Americans really take Thanksgiving for granted. You know, okay, hold on. Let me back up. I remember being the Bay Area, right? I used to live there. And it was Thanksgiving. I can't remember where I was going. But I remember being on the highway and looking around and the car, and there was several cars around me, and you could tell, like, they were folks, mom, dad, children, heading towards a destination. You could tell, like, they were in Thanksgiving mode. And I'm like, wow, every car? Wow. Anyways, I get the feeling that Thanksgiving is taken very seriously in the States, especially by the vendors. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is two things. Well, is Charlie Brown, that very famous Charlie Brown Thanksgiving picture, right? And if you'll notice that Franklin is on Franklin, the black kid, he's at one end of the table by himself, and all the white kids are on the other end of the table. And at first, when I saw that picture, that shit reminded me of my life as a token black kid. So much that I'm starting to realize that I kind of need to make a bigger deal about the fact that I grew up token. If I ever come out with a comedy album, it might be called Grown Up Token. Grown Up Token or some shit like that. Anyways, so I'm saying it had me thinking about that, but after doing a bit of deeper research, and by deeper research is a tweet that showed up by Blue-Blooded Dem Woke As Fuck. And she writes, I was not aware of this, but Charles Schulz. So initially, people are looking at this community as Charles Schulz is a racist motherfucker. But no, but this is what he says. He goes, Charles Schulz took his whole franchise into possible peril by having a black character, and the pushback was loudly against Franklin being added to the show. Mr. Schulz wasn't backing down, but had to agree to this setup so the Southern racist would accept the episode. They had to keep the black kid by himself so the Southerners would, you know, burn his studios or whatever the fuck Southerners do. But, okay, so I guess shout out to Charles Schulz, you know, trying to give us some representation and really risking his career doing so. But it was more, for me, what gets me is how, wow, this is how change happened, man. For me, what gets me is how this picture, someone saw this picture and said, yup, all right, this is the end of times. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Like, this was their, my pronouns is kiss my ass. Like, this was their, these times are changing. This is what old people are complaining about. A bunch of old folks died complaining about. But they probably said something stupid like, oh, black people, if black people want to be represented in cartoons, they should make their own cartoons. But as opposed to what Charles Schulz did. Because it's amazing how we're watching this and we take these scenes for granted. Like, I might make a poster out of this image, man. Because on one end, it represents the bravery of Charles Schulz. On the other end, this picture reminds me of growing up token. And as a token black kid. And you know what? I always felt like, in the back of my mind, I always felt like being black was like I was a prop to these white folks, man. Like the only thing that made me unique was the fact that I was black, so it made it hard for me to develop my individuality. And the other thing, too, is these white teachers would always like to remind me how, hey, you're lucky to be among us, nigger. You know what I mean? As opposed to dying in Haiti, whatever. Like, I guess back then, these guys didn't get no proper training into, hey, don't single out the black kid in your class. But anyway, you know what? Let me stick to the positive and say, yo, shout out to Charles Schulz for what he tried doing. Trying to civilize white people, but you can only go so far. So yeah, okay, all right. I guess I just felt the need to defend Mr. Schulz. I mean, he ain't no John Brown, I'm just saying, but I respect what he did. It's his attempt, all right? Okay. What else do you got, B? What else do you got? Hold on. Kate, for some reason, what's going on? For some reason, oh man, I'm gonna have that kind of day, B. Hold on a second, my browser's not responding. I wonder what that's about. What is going on? Eric, holy shit, okay. Sorry, gang. I my notes just disappeared, and I gotta restart my browser. I hate when these happen because now you guys can't see what I'm. Maybe I should start. You guys can't see what I'm seeing. What the fuck just happened? Okay, man. The robot revolution is starting, folks. Okay. All right. Okay. So, finally, the last random thoughts that I wanted to share is. Hey, you guys know I'm watching this. You know, I might have to just reboot this computer because it's not responding. I am trying to get this shit working. All right. Let me try a different thing here. Okay. Woo. My notes just disappeared on me. And I'm mad. Okay, so what's going on is Chrome is fucking up today. What's going on? Oh, man. Okay. All right, I'm not going to be able to play anything from now on. Fuck this browser. Yeah, I am not going to be able to play anything from... There we go. Holy shit, it took a while to load. Jesus Christ. Okay, so you guys familiar with Our Economy Explained by Cookies? So first let me start. My ADD's kicking in, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, first I started out by explaining how I'm watching a Netflix show called How to Be a Mobster. Make sure, what's the title? Netflix... How to be a mob boss. All right. How to become a mob boss, right? Peter Dinklage is narrating in there. But anyway, I finally watched the series, and I think I'm ready to be a mob boss. Give me time, man. By 7 days, I'm going to have half Virginia locked down. But that's not true. All right. So what's funny, the only thing that got me about this series is there's one particular character, I forget his name. He's speaking, and the particular character who basically is only there because he snitched on John Gotti. And I thought that's kind of fucked up, man. It's like, stop snitching movement. Not that I'm trying to be like Ned Stark and like, you know, looking at the Kingslayer. How dare you break your oath as a mobster? I mean, I got some fucking nerves. Like, I don't know. But it's just that this same character that I saw on the Mob Boss, I remember just looking at him in disgust, judgmental and shit. Like, I know what his life, like I'm in a position to judge a man's life. But he is a snitch. He snitched. That's the problem. Because there's a part of the scene where he goes, and that's why I started snitching. Because he didn't like how John got... Whatever. Because, let me put it this way. It sounded like a legitimate reason, but that's not my... I don't have that life. But I just remember going, this motherfucker's a snitch. Now, fast forward, I'm on Twitter, minding my own business. Of course, I never mind my own business. And the same character is on Twitter. And because I can't play the audio, unfortunately, because this laptop is not behaving. Okay, you know, I'm gonna reboot this motherfucker. You wanna be an asshole? Fine. Be an asshole. Okay. Now, unfortunately, I can't play any audio, gang. But let's see if I can get his name in here. And you won't be able to hear. You're gonna hear it.
I'm in the fucking gym. I go to the gym.
Okay. All right. So. The dude who snitched on John Gotti, they don't show his name. Was that it? No. They don't show his name. Anyways, and so he's talking about how he shares some thought about how he's in the gym and overhearing these two people having a conversation about letting immigrants in or taking care of immigrants and stuff like that. And this white dude chimes in on the conversation, at least it claims he chimes in on the conversation to say, "You motherfuckers racist? You know who deserves our attention is black Americans." And, basically he's caping for black people. He's going to act like, you know, he's like a freedom fighter about like, you know, before we worry about the immigrants, we need to worry about, these black Americans. Now, where I'm going with this is, right, okay, so I started this conversation. This conversation is more about, there's a theme on the internet called Our Economy Explained in Cookies. And the way it works is, you got three people in there. The first one, on the starting from the, on, from the right to the left, on the right is this man wearing a tuxedo, and he's got a whole bunch of cookies in front of him. Oreo cookie, to be more specific. The man on the left, in the middle, is left to him. He's got one cookie. He probably got two cookies. Yeah, no, he got one cookie and a bunch of crumbs. And the man, the third man, he's got crumbs, and he's dying, and he's like trying to use his fingers to like wet his fingers so he can pick up the crumbs. And then the rich man bumps him. If you've seen it, okay, I shouldn't have to explain it. Bumps him and then says, "Hey, that goo's trying to go after your cookies." And then the two start fighting, and then the rich man steals the other man's cookies. And the point of the story is trickle-down economics. Basically, how what I didn't like what the snitch was doing is what the snitch was doing is trying to ignite that argument that there's a lot of black Americans who are feeling like white people who are like, hey, this country needs to take care of us before they take care of immigrants. And I can sympathize. I'm sure, you know, there's my point I'm trying to make is these rich folks got us fighting amongst each other. We're fighting each other for crumbs while these rich people are like stacking wealth, like more wealth than these people can stand, can sell, can spend. And they got us fighting each other over crumbs. All right. Now, I guess in this picture, Our Economy Explaining Cookies, the guy in the middle is the middle class. And the guy in the third guy is the poor people. Or in this example, could also represent the black American, and the other guy is the immigrants coming into the country willing to take any job and whatever salary they could give them, as long as it's steady income. Now, I remember the days when, I wasn't in the States when it happened, but I heard a lot of stories about how black Americans were very unwelcoming to people from the Caribbean. And yeah, they got racist and everything like that. But their anger was based on the notion that, hey, these immigrants coming to the country are stealing our jobs. When the reality is, the employers just refuse to pay you a decent salary. Instead, it's easier for them, it's cheaper for them to bring in people from another country, excuse me, because they're willing to work a cheaper salary. My point in all this is, yo, man, fuck, A, don't listen to the snitch. Black people, don't let the snitch play you. And two, man, this infighting is ridiculous, man. The war ain't against each other. The war is against these rich folks. But, you know, that's the kind of shit that gets you shut down. But whatever, what do I know, man? I'm just a guy with a podcast trying to pretend he understands the world that he lives in. All right, okay. All right, gang. That concludes Using Random Thoughts. I should finish with something more funny, but you know what? But I am going to encourage you to check out the other links. I broke down, there's three links in there. It's like funny shit. And I just broke it down for you to check it out for yourself because it's really funny. Anyway, whatever. There's funny shit in the other links section. All right? Okay. my favorite one is, hold on a second. You know what? No, fuck it. I got to read this one. I was going to talk about it, but my favorite one is raunchy alcohol-fueled Taco Bell party included open sex lawsuit claims. So apparently, it was a Taco Bell where, was it a Christmas party? Okay, fuck it, I'll read it. A former Los Angeles area Taco Bell employee is suing, probably because they weren't invited, is suing the company and the franchise owner after she claims a Christmas party at the fast food restaurant descended into drunken mess that included open sex. Man, how come I don't have these kind of things? But then again, open sex in a Taco Bell, ew. Alana Bechom filed a lawsuit last week in Los Angeles Superior Court. Oh, wow. In the suit, she alleges that her supervisor invited her to to the December 18, 2022 party in San Pedro. Taco Bell, you know what? Taco Bell, at which she worked, she was encouraged to bring food for her potluck style buffet, and her contribution was a bowl of guacamole. Jesus Christ. Once she arrived, Betcham discovered that her supervisor covered the windows of the restaurant with wrapping paper. So it wasn't a restaurant. And also covered the cameras for the lobby in the inside of the restaurant, according to the complaint the New York Post reports. She claims her supervisor provided alcohol to staffers, several of whom were overserved. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't like going to Christmas party. But hold on a second. The worst that's happened to me is someone dropping the N-word, and then, you know, then I got to hear the next day about, oh, man, that's dumb, not, oh, that's so not me. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. Whatever. All right, but her is drunk fest? Jesus Christ. Around midnight, after Bitchum had stepped outside for a short time, she walked back into the restaurant and saw a coworker having sex with his wife in front of everyone at the party, she alleges. Free love. The coworker's wife, Bitchum, claims was also kissing her female manager and another female coworker at the same time. Damn, that's how you get a party started. Shocked and disgusted and outraged, Bitchum alleges that the first ran out of the restaurant, but then went back inside to retrieve her guacamole bowl, only to find that her manager and the other coworkers involved in the sexual encounter were vomiting. Ah! One threw up because of her guacamole in the trash, while the other vomited in the guacamole bowl, according to the complaint. Bitchum said she reported the incident to Taco Bell Human Resources and Alvaretto Restaurant Group, the Colorado-based franchisee. That's why I don't like reading. The manager and the other coworkers involved in the sexual encounter were fired, her complaint states. After their termination, Bitchum alleges that she was threatened. And her car window was, she didn't deserve that, shattered by someone associated with her former coworkers. Taco Bell and the franchise did nothing about the threats and instead told her that they were transferring her to a new location, I know what that's like, rather than disciplining the employee who threatened her, according to the complaint. Bitchum eventually quit and alleges that she has suffered actual consequential and incidental financial loss, poor lady, and that Taco Bell violated the anti-discrimination laws, the New York Post reports. KTLA reached out to Taco Bell and the Alvaretto Restaurant Group for comments. And I guess you didn't get anything. Oh, okay, sorry. While we don't own or manage this location, the franchise who owns and operates this restaurant has shared that they take these claims very seriously, a Taco Bell spokesperson said. I bet you do. That's in the other links. Okay, all right, gang. This concludes, son of a bitch. Let me see if my computer's back. I forgot that my, the reason I use a second machine is to play my sound effects. Okay, let me see if it plays. Sorry, gang. Okay, it booted up. All right. Okay, we're going to jump to final thoughts. And before we get to final thoughts, I got to play. Did I mention I was hungry? I gotta play. Come on, boot up, you goddamn PC. I gotta play this. All right, okay. Jesus Christ. That's so annoying, man. Okay. All right, what's up with today's title? Let's go with, what's up with today's title? If it offends you, it meant you. It's meant to, and it's that simple. And that comes from the poem that I just recited earlier at the beginning. And it's called "Y'all My Niggas" by Nas, and it's from his untitled album. And that's where that verse came from, right? Some niggas are full time, some play and pretend. So fuck that. No apologies on the issues. If it offends you, it's meant to, and it's that simple. Okay. Let me try to... I should have written this down. First, let me explain how What's up with the title? Like I said, I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I do remember this song playing and going, you know what? It reminded me how I started thinking about when Nas came out with the Untitled album, right? And it kind of relates to the theme of where I'm going with this. Yeah, I remember when the Untitled was, there's a buzz around the album Untitled. And the reason it's Untitled is because originally Nas, or that's the word, was going to call the album Nigger. N-I-G-G-E-R. And, or niggas, whatever, right? And it sparked a lot of controversy. Now, I remember being angry at Nas for doing that. Because there was a lot of joke about how, when did this album come out? There was a lot of jokes about how, jokes were being made about how, oh, white people trying to buy the album in stores. Hold on, Untitled. I'm trying to remember when it came out, Untitled. Yeah, that was, it was a lot of running jokes about how white people going into the stores and, July 15, 2008. Interesting, yeah. And, anyways, I remember being Nas. This is rare. This is the first time I found myself, well, I don't know if that's the first time, but first time I was angry with a creative decision by Nas. Because usually I trust Nas with these things, but when it came to the N-word, calling his album the N-word, just the idea of white people, look, black people are not all the same. There are black people who can hear the N-word, and it doesn't bother them. Sorry about that. That was my stupid, god damn it, my PC trying to be acknowledged. All right, what was I saying? Yeah, there's some black people who can hear the N-word. It doesn't bother them, right? Especially by white people. For me, I am not in that category. Part of it has to do with the fact that, well, I have a complicated relationship with that word, but part of it has to do with the fact that I spent a majority, oh my god, that's annoying. Okay, because it's an update playing in the background. Shouldn't have played the update. All right. I spent a majority portion of my time pretending like the N-word didn't bother me. No, don't get me wrong. It's kind of like I needed permission. Okay, am I okay? Is it okay if I get... People like me, because I was a sensitive person, I had to be mindful. I took it upon myself to be like, okay, because I'm a sensitive person, I need to be careful about what I allow or what I allow to trigger me in front of these people. Because I always got that, oh, you're being too sensitive. So I would not regulate, worse than regulate, it would be more repress my emotions, right? So there was a situation where I remember probably, around that time where I guess there was this understanding that white people could say the N-word as long as they're reading it. I don't know. There was this weird understanding, that loophole of when white people were allowed to use the N-word out loud. And no, it was more they could say the N-word and you couldn't respond to it, because then you look like the overly sensitive black person. Yeah, public perception was a thing. Like, I didn't know. It took me a while to realize that, hey, you're entitled to your feelings and act on those feelings. I grew up in this like, church environment, right? It's like, look, man, in order for us to consider you a normal human being, you need to behave in these ways. And part of this behavior is repressing your feelings when they're hurt. It's only now that, you know, in my age, that I'm like, yeah, no, I don't make no apologies for it. N-word bothers me. If you're cool with it, it's cool. Excuse me. N-word by a white person bothers the fuck out of me. Like, I was in therapy, and I learned in therapy, well, not in therapy, but through therapy, how I've been processing. Oh my god, that's annoying. Sorry, the computer's doing all this noise. I'll probably cut it out. Right. I've been processing. Really distracting, eh? I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, gang. I've been processing the N-word since the first time I've ever heard it in my life. Since the first time I heard it. It was probably in grade school. It was probably, even before grade school. All I know is, so I would use the N-word, and I was surprised, and I was surrounded by people who were like, don't react to it. And I'm like, don't react to what? Like, I'm still figuring out what just happened. All I know is a rush of emotion from rage to careful, people are looking at you, from rage to embarrassment to awkwardness to, like, there's so many complicated emotions that get triggered when I hear a white person drop the N-word. But the worst out of them is maintain control. See, my parents weren't the type to be like, you know, yo, well, white man drops the N-word, you fucked them up. Well, they were big in, don't get in the fight. Basically, I didn't have the proper supervision to say, yes, it's normal that you feel this way. To just that moment, just the, it's okay, it's normal that you would feel this way. And I guess some options on how to deal with those emotions. So all this to say, the N-word was a complicated thing for me. And it was a lot of nasty emotions. And it resulted in me being angry at Nas's choice of an album. To the point that I was ready to boycott the dude. And finally, the album came out and he made the executive decision at the last minute. Or maybe that was the plan all along, was to call the album Untitled. And I listened to the album, and the one track that hits me, like, I'm not a big fan of the album. Like, okay, it's no Illmatic. It's no, what's the second, that's the second one he did. It Was Written. It's no Stillmatic. But the one track that I play the most, the one track that I play like it was on Illmatic is this one, Y'all My Niggas. And the whole song is pretty much Nas doing the same thing as he did was I Gave You Power, but instead of personifying a gun in this particular case, he personifies the N-word. And he's just, it's as if he's trying to say, bro, I'm just a word. Or trying to talk about how much power that word has. I guess that's what pretty much the rap song is all about. At least that's my takeaway. Anyway, all this to say that I love the fact that one line in there was, if it offends you, it's meant to. And it's that simple. Like, I do like the exercise that I did go for. Don't get me wrong. I am the kind of person that when I'm offended, I do some self-analysis. I just stop doing it when it comes to racist shit. Fuck that. I ain't giving no white folks no pass. Yeah, racist shit. Yeah, man. Fuck that. No, I don't do it for that shit. But it did have me thinking, okay, so what's funny is yesterday, Saturday, I was at the barber shop and I was having a conversation with my barber about comedy. And we weren't really making any points except for, I guess in a way, if I summed it up, it was to talk about the right to offend as a comedian. And I think my bottom line is, it's not about being offensive. It's about being fucking funny. And if the casualty is offending someone, then so be it. I guess I can understand that. I hate being in a situation where, and it's happened to me before, like I was talking about the N-word, where I've laughed at a joke that I didn't find funny. Literally, didn't find it. Whether I was offended or what, it just wasn't fucking, knock, knock, who's there, boo, boo, hoo. You know what I mean? It's like, it was like that kind of corny of a joke. And the only reason I laughed is just so this white person, usually it's a white person, would be like, oh, stop being so sensitive. Like, they had this manipulation tactic. It's like, it's just to make this person feel good about themselves. Just so, I think this is the proper use of the word, ironically, so their fucking feelings won't get hurt. No, even worse, it's just, I didn't want to have to explain why I didn't find a joke funny. Or they didn't want to have to get into, yeah, your joke wasn't funny. Because the assumption is, oh, you're just being too sensitive. I'm like, yes, but your joke wasn't fucking funny. Like, I hate being in a situation where I pretend to laugh just to get along. And it happens, and it's very common. I hate fake laughter. I do a lot of that shit at work. Fake laughter, man. Just to make the other person, just to get rid of the awkwardness, right? Where was I going with this? Yeah, so we were just talking about, yeah, the right to offend. But that conversation then, it's only later, because he we weren't making any points, but I did enjoy the conversation. But it's only later, after watching the recent Matt Rife, comedian, the white guy, Matt Rife special. And, yeah, I watched the special. And, and the controversy attached to it and reading about the controversy around. So what happened is that Matt Rife is a comedian whose claim to fame my first intention was to shit on the guy, but, no, he's a content creator and a comedian. And, he posts a lot of his set on TikTok, and shit's gone viral. And then fast forward, this dude ends up with a Netflix special. Now, before his Netflix special, I guess people were hating on the dude because he's a good-looking guy. And I can understand that, man. He's a good-looking guy, and he's acting like a decent human being. Kind of fucked people up. And, yeah, it's like, come on, man. You're a good-looking guy. Be an asshole. Because, yeah, his image was, I'm a cool guy. I'm not just good-looking guy, but I'm a decent guy. He sounded like the kind of human being you'd want to hang out with. He sounded like the kind of dude who'd be like, who would like stand up for you. Hey, you okay, brother? You know, if I was wobbling in a club, like feeling weird, he like, you okay, brother? You know what I mean? Like he seems like a decent dude. I don't know him personally, right? But I did listen to his special, and first off the bat, fresh out, right out the gate, this dude surprises the world and does a joke about a domestic abuse joke. I gotta say, that joke, it wasn't really original. It's actually a joke that I've heard. It's a locker room joke I've heard before. And what gets me about it, two things, is one, if you knew the dude and how his upbringing, I think what happened is Matt Rife got upset at the fact that 99% of his fans wore high heels, like LL Cool J, and then he wanted to adjust. He wanted to what's that word? Curve. Basically, trim the fat. And he starts with a domestic violence joke, caught a whole bunch of people off guard. I guess what sucks is a lot of women supported him. And I guess he just didn't want the reputation of New Kids on the Block. He didn't want to be a boy band. He didn't want to be the boy band of comedy. He's like, nah, fuck that. Fuck that. Motherfuckers. I don't make comedy just for the bitches. Okay, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what he was thinking. All I know is it resulted in me watching his special. I will not deny. The buzz... I remember seeing his special because it's funny, I wasn't going to watch him because I just knew him from the dude as the internet, right? And to be clear, a lot of the shit that I watch on Netflix is usually because of buzz. If I don't know anything about it, it's usually because of the buzz, right? So it is kind of interesting how I wasn't going to watch that special. Had my conversation with my barber. I told a friend of mine about it, that she ended up watching it. This is what's good, because she watched it and I ended up watching it. And, so yeah, the joke he made wasn't original. It's been done before. Like, I really hope he's not, yo, I wrote this joke. I kind of get the impression he was intentionally trying to be offensive. Actually, no. And this is the main reason why I'm talking about Matt Rife's special. Is because in the article that I share in, hold on, how do I minimize this thing? Oh, there we go. Okay, thank God. Okay, I'm going to, because I forgot that I shared an article in this, right, that I read. In the article titled, Comedian Matt Rife Responds to Netflix Special Backlash with Mock Apology. Yeah, man. He's got a mock apology. Basically, he goes, if you've ever been offended by a joke I've told, here's a link to my official apology. And then you click on it, and it's basically, it's a link to buy a helmet. And it basically, it's his way of saying, yeah, you are, he doesn't drop the N-word, but he's pretty much saying that you have mental health issues. You're a retarded person. I guess that's the joke. Whatever, right? Now, I am not here to, I am not jumping on that wagon of, it's so funny, right? I want to be clear that I'm not here to be like, yeah, good radio, man. Fuck these sensitive motherfuckers. No, I'm not jumping on that. And I am not here to be like, yo, fuck Matt Rife, man. What the fuck? How do you diss him like that? No. What I am surprised, if I bring it up is one, why did he do it? And in the article that I talked about, because which is why, and it also links to the title of this episode, if it offends you, it meant to. He talks about how, yo, I am not one of those white comedians who's gonna say that, I'm a victim as a comedian, I'm not allowed to say what I want to say. No, he goes, no, I was intentionally offensive. Hold on, what is it? Okay, yeah, okay. The line goes, Rife also told the outlet that he does not adhere to this whole sensitivity rumor in comedy, in the comedy world, that you can't say anything anymore. You can't say whatever you want. Now, you have to be prepared for the repercussions. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to how do you sleep at night, he said. That's why I'm talking about Matt Rife right now. Because he's like, yeah, I did it. He was, if it offends you, it meant to. Like, I'm thinking of when Nas was about to, how I was offended by Nas's album selection. Okay, no, you know, I'm not going to put him in the same boat. I guess, okay, if I go by my own feelings here, right? This dude, he seems like the kind of guy who knows what he's doing. I could be wrong. I don't know him personally, right? But I'm wondering if this is, yeah, I know what I'm doing. There's a method to my madness. It's like, surprise. Or he kind of gives off the impression of the kind of guy that if him and I were friends, I'd be able to have a conversation with him. I'd be able to have a conversation with him about why I felt making a joke about domestic abuse is fucked up. Speaking for me as a man, right? Because for me, I would explain to him how, yo, domestic abuse, rape, it's all those things that we as men like to brag about. Yeah, of course I'm against it, but ain't shit we could do about it except maybe beat up the only thing we bring to the table is we're willing to beat up your rapist. We're willing to beat up a man who strikes you. That's all we got to offer. Whether we actually beat him up, that's another thing. But what makes it fucked up is when it comes to domestic violence, the motherfucker who beats his wife, who beats his spouse, laughed at your joke. And he's probably telling himself that, of course I'm against domestic violence. But I think that's what, for me, I wouldn't have crossed that line. But okay, I started this conversation about the right to offend. But what I'm wondering is, holy shit, this dude's got me thinking, what about the right to be offended? What are my rights as someone who is offended? Now, in Matt Rife's special, he does talk about like the motherfuckers on Twitter, on Twitter, who are just miserable human beings who just can't wait to shit on whatever you put on the internet. He spoke to me when he said that. I really admire that he said that. It's like, yo, Twitter is your art. Embrace your art. And I applaud him for that part, right? Because I could connect with that. I'm speaking as someone who's like been timid with his own art. I really love all these content creators who encourage you to like, yo, man, love your art. But the question is, what happens when it's offensive, when someone's offended by it? And that was actually the conversation I was having with at the barbershop. And, like, I'm trying to figure out that line. So here's the thing. I'm intentionally being offensive by saying fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. At the beginning of this episode, I know there's a bunch of white people who will be like, ha ha ha, who will laugh at this. But I know there's a particular personality who are like, take offense to this. Like, to the point of even, yo, I'm going to get this black guy fired. How he's going to make it about race. Like, and it's my way of saying, I hate you people with a passion. Like, yes, I'm intentionally being offensive to those people. What's that saying? A friend to all is a friend to none. This is my way of saying, yeah, I'm not friends of those kind of people. My intention is, no, it was, it's funny, it's, when I said that, it's funny how I forgot that it was a funny thing. I was it was my way of saying, fuck you people. Fuck you people, please don't listen to this podcast. Not please don't listen to this podcast, but if you do, all I'm going to do is intentionally offend you. So there's that. But on the other end, I'm thinking about if I do say, I guess there is a portion of human beings who, if I offend on this podcast, I want to hear about it. And I might make adjustments. I might make adjustments like what's her name? Lizzo did. Apparently she said something, albism? Is that the word? She said something that's albiest. Basically disrespectful to handicapped people. Handicapable? Whatever. I'm going to use the word handicap, right? If it's the wrong term, then you let me know, right? And she apologized for it. Now, I understand that, but I also refuse to allow to be controlled. That's the part that I can understand. I don't want to join the oh, everyone too sensitive, you can't say anything crowd. No, fuck that, right? But I am saying I understand not wanting to be controlled. I remember this one time, this one lady who I was asking, basically a comedian had a set about abortion, and I was just fascinated by her set, by her courage and everything to do it, right? I was like, as an artist, as a comedian, I was like, bravo. And it's had me asking questions about abortions that I didn't know. And this one girl overheard me, and she said, did you just ask a woman about her abortion? And basically ripped my, jumped down my throat for it. And I was like, I thought I was asking about her set. But she goes, you're not supposed to do that. I didn't fucking know that, but I remember feeling like the sensitivity in me is like, wait, did I say something offensive? My bad. Like I was all like feeling all the guilt kicked in and everything. It's never my intention to offend. The idea that I offended someone bothers me. It's enough for me to be like you don't have to attack me. Just say, hey, what you just said bothered me. It's enough to me to be, oh, my bad. Let's talk about it, for me to engage you, to take you seriously. But I do have a limit. KB, just gonna I'll make this my final point because I reminded myself that I'm hungry. I grew up in a church, I grew up in a church surrounded by a lot of controlling people, and they would use the scriptures or their understanding, their interpretation of the Bible to control you. It's like, hey, you listen to rap music? You're not allowed to do that. You should stop listening. If you want to be a real Christian, you would stop listening to rap music. And I'd be like, oh, I don't have any counter argument. They must be right. Like, it was very controlling on how to act, how to behave, and it was kind of like censoring. Oh, you curse? You shouldn't curse if you want to be a real Christian. And I fell for all that shit. I remember falling for it, and then it got to a point where I was like, fuck that. I do understand people who are feeling... I understand that feeling of people who are feeling like they're being censored or being controlled. That I can understand. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know what Mike Rife was thinking with that domestic violence joke, especially an old one, man. It's like he went out of his way to say, "Yeah, I'm purposely trying to be offensive." Maybe he just wanted the approval of the bros or whatever. I don't know. Again, don't know the dude personally. It's like on one end, I'm respecting him as a content creator. On the other end, it's like, damn, bro, man, how you gonna shit on your fans like that? Or maybe he's like, yeah, there's a category. I mean, again, it's way too complicated for me to explore that idea. All I'm gonna leave it as, I don't know what my wife was thinking. And if I was in his shoes, would I have done the same? I don't know. Yeah, I don't like the idea of being offensive to someone unless they had it coming. Now, if I'm in a situation where I offended you because with something I didn't know, sure, but I kind of need you to show me a bit of grace as opposed to jump down my throat over it. Now, Now, I'm the same guy, because I'm scared about karma, right? I'm the same guy who used to get on white people's case because they wouldn't say African-American or African-Canadian. So, what the fuck, cracker? Stop saying black. Whatever, right? I was that guy. Don't say, get it right. But I didn't know better back then. like for me, the idea that I was terrible, man. A black person could just say, yeah, I don't like BlackBerry as a product. The fuck you say about black people? You know what I mean? I would snap like that. And I guess I'm kind of scared that karma bites me in the ass. Especially with my siblings in the LGBTQIA+ community. Let me get this right. LGBTQIA+. Did I get that right? Not bad. Yes. Okay. Transgender, queer, intersex, and asexual. All right. Okay. Plus. Yeah. Okay. So, No. I noticed that I could be very... it's unfortunate. The image of them being very sensitive, you got to be very careful around them. Be careful. I'm like, I don't think it's realistic, man. I think it's a fake image that's been fed into our mind where you start feeling like, I don't know how to behave around these people. And the thing is, I remember I have a friend in the comedy community, and she was a trans woman. Actually, they didn't care about their pronouns. I remember asking them about their pronouns. But I'm new to, again, my Christian upbringing. And I'm like seeing a man with a purse and wearing feminine. So I'm like, okay, I guess you might be a she. Whatever. But I remember being overly careful around them. Yes, because I kept saying, yeah, what up, dog? Oh, my bad. No, I'm sorry. I meant to say, you the man. No, I'm sorry. You know, I was being like too much of that. And they were like, yo, bro, calm the fuck down. that's not their words. But I remember they were trying to get me to, like, chill the fuck out. Like, I'm not going to kill you for using the wrong pronouns, whatever. You're the one who needs to chill. I made it more about myself than I made it about them. See, I'm saying I don't want to be offensive, but a part of my need to not be offensive comes from the need of wanting to be liked and being a people pleaser. So, yeah. Again, these are one of those thoughts that I bring out, I spill out loud that I don't have any real conclusion, just to say, all I wanted to say is, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the line is. But I do want to emphasize the fact that if you feel that you are my target audience, the people I want to reach, and I do, you know what? If I ever said anything that's worth bringing up, let me know, bottom line. Except for you white folks, man. I don't want to hear read no email. I mean, I'll read it for entertainment value. Hey, I hurt some white dude's feelings. Yay! But yeah, man, if you're a white person talking about, yeah, I don't like the fact that you say fuck whitey or what else do I say? Or you make your stuff about being black. Yeah, it bothers me. Yeah, you're not my target audience. You're not my target. Okay, all right. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. I, like always, you can holler at me. All right, so if you find me on the internet, you can find me on Twitter using the handle @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's @B.Black. On Instagram, Threads, it's @ShutUpPodcast. I wonder if I put this in order. But if you really want to holler at me on the internet, the real place to find me is on shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time, because my hearing aid wasn't on. I said shutuppodcast.com. That's my stomping ground. That's shutuppodcast.com is to me what Brooklyn is to Jay-Z. That makes sense? All right, okay. My email address for the podcast is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. No, I'm not on Spotify yet. I'm not working on it. I'm just not on Spotify yet. But with that said, yo, les amis, thank you for... Hold on a second. Am I doing this right? Thank you for... Putain de merde. Sorry, gang. I got to prepare my outro here. Okay. I feel like Superman. Okay. All right. Thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Okay? Do that for me. All right. Peace.
I am your king now!